Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special edition of Me, You, Us, a well-being podcast. I'm your host, Bill Krieger, and today my guest is Todd Marsh. He is the Director of Learning and Development at Consumers Energy. So, Todd, if you'll introduce yourself, we'll get the conversation started.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you today. As you said, I'm the Director of Learning, Development, and Technology and People and Culture here at Consumers Energy. I've been with the company for 8 years now and have been in People and Culture the entire time, mostly in the learning development space. Also did some work with the HR operations group as a HR director for a short time as well. Prior to coming to the company, I spent some time in public education. I started my career as a middle school computer science teacher and then moved on to high school chemistry for several years. And then after that, spent a couple of years as an assistant principal at a high school and middle school, and then as a middle school principal for about 3.5 years after that before coming to Consumers Energy. But I would say I think my most important role is as a husband. My wife, Erin, is a teacher as well. She teaches science in Grand Ledge and a father of four. We have a 17-year-old daughter, Madeline, a 15-year-old son, Brendan, an 11-year-old son, Kalen, and a 9-year-old son, Jameson. And they certainly keep us busy most of the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like you're busy at all. Four kids.
Yeah, right.
Definitely. And it sounds like you had a pretty interesting career on the educational side as well. I heard chemistry in there, and I got to tell you, that was the bane of my existence when I was in junior high school. I really struggled with chemistry and with mathematics. So kudos to you for being able to teach it.
Yeah, chemistry's fun. You know, if you make it interactive and engaging and demonstrations every single day, you can capture interest. Kids love to see things blow up. So I was able to do a lot of that in my chemistry classroom.
Maybe I just needed a different chemistry teacher because that sounds like a lot of fun to me.
So right, you see a few explosions and you'll be engaged immediately.
Absolutely, especially if they weren't intended, but we won't get into that.
Oh, yeah, we better not.
So, I mean, if we think about your background and you're in learning and development here at Consumers Energy, which is probably very similar, I heard you say four kids. And, you know, I don't know if you know it, this last year has been a pandemic. And I know kids have been working from or been going to school from home. So how does that work for you?
Yeah, I mean, what a crazy year. And in our school district, It has not been until the last 3 or 4 weeks where students have actually returned to the classroom. So our four kids have been home, essentially since about a year ago, all through the school year and into this month. And it's been an interesting experience, you know, with four students at the, you know, ranging from the fifth grade all the way up to a junior in high school taking AP classes. You know, my wife and I have found us playing multiple roles, you know, working from home and Erin trying to teach from home. Teaching high school anatomy and physiology virtually is certainly a challenge. And then at the same time, having our four kids also at home doing their schoolwork and popping in and out for questions throughout the day. And it certainly has proved challenging and chaotic, sometimes frustrating, but also, you know, at times enjoyable and a chance to learn a little bit more about our kids over the last 12 months.
Yeah, you know, I talked to a lot of families and it's interesting to me. Over this last year, we have learned a lot about each other at home, having everyone at home and also at work, because even though we're not interacting at the office anymore, I feel like I've gotten closer to my coworkers just in sharing what's going on in our lives and having meetings via video. I don't know. It's been very strange to me, but I feel like I've gotten to know people better through all of this.
Well, and what a unique experience. I was on a call actually just yesterday with a coworker who was on the meeting and had her baby son on the call with her. And I mean, I just thought how cool, because those are things that we didn't get to experience in the past. And you know, this coworker's been able to stay at home and be with her child. I'm sure it's been frustrating at times, but I'm sure it's also been extremely enjoyable and created some unique experiences for her and for the team that she's on, and the chance to learn a little bit about each other's families. I know on more than one occasion, my children have popped in the room while I've been on a call to ask a question, and they've waved at the camera and you know, had a word with the team, and that's been fun, and it definitely creates a different environment. And it's really, you know, Bill, it's unique because it's different all over the place. You know, some of us have children who have been in school all year since day one, you know, with maybe some minor shutdowns. Others have had hybrid, where they're in school a couple days a week and at home a couple days a week, and it's shifted back and forth. And others have had, you know, similar to our situation, where the kids have essentially been home for the entire school year. And so as I talk to coworkers across the company, I get a lot of questions, especially from those folks that know my background in education and want to know a little bit about some of the experiences, some of the challenges they've faced, you know, some just venting, some asking for advice. But one thing is certain is that there is no one experience that's been consistent across the board for any family. It is varied across the state, across school districts, and within even within districts, you know, different families have faced different challenges.
Well, and you say the word challenge, and back at the beginning of our discussion, you talked about it even being a challenge for you and your wife, who are educators. So I can only imagine how that must work for people who may not have that background in education, and people like me who graduated high school a long time ago and haven't touched on things like math and physics and chemistry in years, and then to have to be the parent and the teacher, you know. So I just wonder what that's like for people. My kids are all out of the house, so I didn't have to experience that with the pandemic. But you know, if I'm a parent and maybe I'm not an educator, maybe my background isn't in some of these subjects, what are some of the things that I can look for to see if my child is struggling in school?
Yeah, Bill, that's a good point. And I think, you know, my wife and I have been incredibly blessed because, you know, we both have an education background and we've both been fortunate enough to be home for most of the time during this pandemic and working in the house. And I know we have coworkers in the company and spouses of those coworkers that aren't able to be home. And that's created even some additional challenges for families. And so I do feel lucky that we've been able to be here and support our kids. And I understand that not everybody has. And you bring up a good point because, you know, there's a lot of challenges and questions that students have, you know, going from even early elementary school all the way through high school, where they may be working on schoolwork and asking their parents or grandparents or those that are providing support for them during the day for assistance, and it can be challenging. And you know, I look at my 9-year-old and his math homework and some of the way that the changes to approaching, and I'm sure there's many out there listening that have seen this, the changing in the way we approach math is different than how we learned long division or even an addition and subtraction many years ago. And so I've looked at his homework and just blank stares and you know, I don't know, I got to go and do some research to be able to help you. And then, you know, you move on to our daughter, who's a junior in high school taking calculus. I mean, there's no way. I wasn't strong at that calculus. It was a struggle for me. And so, you know, we've had to use outside or other resources to get assistance. And I guess, you know, if there's one takeaway that I've learned throughout this and one piece of advice I've given to parents is number one, you can't do it for them. So the kids come to us and they ask for help, and you can't sit out and just do the work for them, because that's taking away from that experience they get learning by doing. I mean, it's the principle of learning. It's not unique to school age children. It's even through our learning and development department here at the company. You learn by doing and by practicing. And so when we do it for them, we take that away. So you have to help walk them through it, But then I think also just as important is as a parent or as a provider of helping a student, you have to be willing to raise your hand when you can't do it, when you can't help, and you know, throw the white flag up and say, all right, we got to get the right person to help you learn during this time. Because, you know, even if you're in school 2 days a week, that may not be enough time to get all the support the student needs to gain the knowledge that they're expected to get out of the work that's being assigned. And so I thought the company did an amazing thing this year by launching the Varsity Tutors program. I know you can learn more about that on iConnect, but what a great opportunity. And I've heard several success stories of families that have engaged and used that program to provide support for their students. Because, you know, maybe they're not around during the day. They're in a position where they're at work, or maybe the subject is something that's beyond them and they just need to get some help. That just awesome that we've been able to provide that for our coworkers and their families.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned Varsity Tutors, because that's been an excellent opportunity for our coworkers. Just a quick plug, if you want to know more about it, you can check out the iConnect site, or you can reach out to Sarah Zuhl. Her last name is S-Z-U-L. She is the expert in this. Now, if you're not going to use it and you want to donate it to someone else, you can do that as well. Contact Sarah on that. Now, that's great for people who work for consumers because that's subsidized. But I know there are some things out there for folks who don't work at consumers, because our listeners are from all over the place. And I know one thing I used when I was in college was Khan Academy. Are you familiar with that?
I am. And Khan Academy is great. You can find lectures and lessons on so many different topics. And, you know, the other part of that, Bill, is just using Google and searching through your child's grade level and homework, you can often see examples. YouTube is also a great resource. I know when my son was working through some math problems, I Googled the type of math problem and found an elementary teacher giving some lessons on YouTube that walked me through the steps I needed to take to help him solve the problem. Took a little bit of time on my part. But, you know, you're right. For those that don't work for the company, there are resources out there using the internet. I mean, it's timely that this pandemic happened in the age that it did, the digital age, where we have, you know, information at our fingertips, on our mobile devices, on our home computers, on our tablets. The kids all have their devices, so that you can go out and find other resources like the Khan Academy with, you know, fabulous lectures and lessons that are available.
Well, and I, you know, I'm a big fan of YouTube. I learned how to change the O2 sensor on a 2007 Jeep Wrangler just by watching YouTube. So, I mean, you can learn everything from math to how to work on a motor and everything in between.
Yep. I will be changing this evening a blower motor in a 2016 Chrysler Town & Country, which I also learned how to do on YouTube, and need to get that replaced because the noise inside the car of the worn out bearings is pretty dramatic right now.
Well, we'll expect a full report to see how that all worked out for you. So one of the other things that I'm reading about and hearing about on the news a lot, which may or may not be a surprise to our audience, is that kids are struggling. There's an uptick in the need for mental health resources, and they're struggling in the emotional pillar of their personal well-being. So, Todd, what are some of the things we can do to help out with that?
Yeah, I think it's important to note during this pandemic, a lot of things have been hard on our young students. They've lacked the social interaction, the in-person social interaction. You know, granted, they have the Zoom and texting and the various apps that the kids use to stay connected, but it's not in person, and that's definitely different. So social has been gone. Sports and other extracurricular activities have been delayed, have been changed, have been altered. I know my daughter is big into musicals, and they didn't have a fall musical this year. They didn't have a winter musical this year. And that was a big blow to something she enjoys doing and likes to be engaged in. You know, the whole aspect of learning remotely has been changed. And so when you think about all of these things that students have faced, not to mention the pandemic and the news they see and fear that they may have for themselves, for their family, there's a lot going on. And it's easy to understand why when we watch the news and see these stories about upticks in depression at younger ages, or as you mentioned, upticks in suicide. And it's frightening and it's scary. And, you know, there are a number of resources that I would push parents towards if you suspect that your child may be dealing with some depression or anxiety about the year and the events that have taken place. You know, first and foremost, most schools do have school counselors. Most school districts have school counselors for younger students, and in middle school and high school often have school counselors. Schools often have social workers as well. I would encourage if you believe or feel your student is struggling, make that phone call and maybe set up a chance to talk and have a discussion with that counselor. Again, I'll go back to what our company offers. We have guidance resources, and guidance resources available for coworkers to reach out if they need support. And if you believe there's a need, you know, look up guidance resource. I believe it's guidanceresources.com. You can also find it on iConnect, but reach out and get that support. I think the number one thing we can do as I think about supporting students is making sure to check in regularly. It's very easy, you know, kids, especially at the high school and middle school level, oftentimes, you know, they do have their faces buried in devices, and that is an outlet for them. But it's easy to just assume things are okay, and you don't really know until you sit down and have a conversation. And so that's one thing. That's a piece of advice I've given, and one thing my wife and I have been, you know, tried hard to do throughout the last several months is just sit down and check in, make sure everything's going okay, and let our kids talk and share stories and tell about their days. And then we can pick up if we do believe there's some frustration or challenges out there.
I like that. I think it's as simple as just ask, right? Just ask, how are you doing today? How are you feeling today? And, you know, in addition to guidance resources, you have your family physician. You know, there's a lot of different places that people can go to get that help for their kids. But absolutely be in tune, ask the question. You know, one of the things that we say here a lot, and I don't know if you've heard Jeff Shingler talk about this, but the thing that he does is every day he reaches out to someone he hasn't talked to in a while just to see how they're doing. And, you know, that extends out to our extended families and friends, but also if we look internally to our families, there are times where we might go for a day or two or even three where we might not know what's going on because we're so busy in all that we're doing. And even though we're at this house all together, there's still that opportunity to let those things slip past.
Well, and at work, even virtually, you know, we can often get a feeling if someone's struggling. And so I always, you know, encourage, and I have heard Jeff's advice before, and I think it's great, you know, connect with someone just to check in. And I've had a few people reach out to me. You know, my family, we did have our older two children went through COVID several weeks ago. And, you know, I shared with some coworkers, and one of my people in culture coworkers just randomly reached out, you know, probably 5 or 6 days later, just wanted to check in and see how the kids were doing, if we needed anything at all. And that made a big difference. And so we can be there for each other as we're facing the challenges at home as well. Whether it's to offer assistance or whether it's to offer a listening ear or just to check in and say hi. It does mean something, and it's important to do.
You know, we're getting kind of the point of the podcast where we're going to wrap things up, but I didn't want to go without finding out if there's anything else you wanted to share with the audience. I mean, you just have so much experience and knowledge, especially when it comes to kids.
Yeah, Bill, I think there are a couple of other things. We hear a lot about returning to normal. And I think one thing that's important to note is returning to normal might be something that some students are really looking forward to. They can't wait to get back to the athletic fields, back to the classroom, back to school, back to musicals and band and everything else. But there are some students who have really excelled over the last year, students that might be more introverted, students that have done well with homeschooling and struggle with some social anxiety. And I think that's really important to recognize that, you know, going from being essentially locked down in a pandemic for several months, and then overnight going back into the classroom or rejoining sports teams, for someone that is struggling with anxiety, that can be a big mountain to climb. And so I think as parents and guardians of students, that is something to watch for. It's probably even something to watch for with coworkers as well. It's no different. Some of us have really excelled and connected well virtually and have enjoyed being at home, and others are eager to get back to the building, to the workplace. And so I think we it's important to note that going back to normal for some is very welcome and we're ready and excited, and for others it could be a challenge. And as we talk about anxiety and depression, that's something to watch for as well. And then I would just lastly add, I think the pandemic has offered some changes for family dynamics, for our coworkers, for our community members, our friends. And it's important to recognize that it may take some time for families to adjust to what the new normal looks like and to getting back out there. And so while one family might be excited to be back out and getting together with friends, others may be more cautious and want to play it safe. And so I just think, you know, as we shift into summer and things may be looking a little bit different, it's important to be aware of that and you know, keep an open mind that everybody's at a different place, especially our children. They're all at different places in their journey through this pandemic over the last 12 months.
You know, I really appreciate you saying that, Todd, because I hadn't looked at it from that perspective, that there's going to be normal and new normal and everyone is at a different point in their journey. And I didn't even think that some people may not want to return to what normal used to be, that they're really thriving in what's going on now. So I appreciate you bringing that out. That'll be something to really think about, just as you said, as the schools open and as we open the doors to our coworkers and others. So it's going to be a very interesting time. I would like to say thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to come in and talk on the podcast. I think that we should get back together maybe in the fall to do a back to school special, just to remind people that things are hopefully going to be different this fall than they were last fall, and maybe talk through some of these things again as well. But thanks again, Todd, for everything.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it and would be happy to touch base again in the fall. And, you know, one thing is for certain, our kids matter. Our kids mean a lot to us. And so being there for them is what's most important to me. And I'm happy to answer any questions offline if anybody has any. Thanks for the time today, Bill. I appreciate it.
And thank you to the audience for tuning into this special edition of Me, You, Us. Remember, you can subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. And please take a few minutes to fill out our survey and let us know how we're doing. That can be found at bit.ly/me-you-us. And remember to tune in every Wednesday, where we talk about the things that impact your personal well-being.